This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Well, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
You heard that first voice there. That was the voice of Ryan Day asking, I would like to know where Lou Holtz is right now. Perhaps you would like Lou Holtz to be around to help out with the national championship trophy as the Ohio State University. It's always been Ohio against the world, Ryan, who his wife is happy with Clay Travis, among others.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say he needed Lou to help dye the beard the beard dye controversy.
The beard dye controversy. Clay had a commentary on his social media. A lot of people have joked about Ryan Day with that he dyes his beard. And she posted on social media. I could say for certainty I've never seen him dye his beard. So there you have it.
Well, just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean it hasn't happened, because there's literally no way that's not beard dye. It's
jet black.
It's jet black. He's a mid-40s individual. There's no way he doesn't have a stitch of gray as a college
coach. Which, by the way, are any Jets black?
That's a good question.
Where does the term come from?
That's a really good question.
Like all these
stealth bomber, maybe?
All these private planes flying into Augusta, Georgia, and everything. Were any of them black? I don't think I've ever seen a black jet.
The term jet black originates from a naturally occurring gemstone called jet, a type of coal. And so that's where that came from.
Okay. All right. So they were at the White House yesterday. This is like White House month. All these teams are going to the White House like this month. Dodgers were just there. And obviously Ohio State's just there. The Eagles are going to be there. So it is White House press tour month for all these teams. And J.D. Vance is the vice president. He is from Ohio. And he goes to pick up the trophy. And not real. I don't know if he didn't know it was in two pieces or he did it and just fumbled it. But the trophy part came up.
Aiden's got it on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube.
And the pedestal falls to the ground. And it's like, oops. Oh, man.
You know what? I got to blame college football yet again. This is so stupid.
To have it in two pieces.
Yes. It's so dumb.
Could you imagine the Lombardi or the Larry, or the ball just
falls? The Stanley Cup.
The Stanley Cup. The cup falls off the Stanley Cup. The football falls off of Lombardi. The basketball falls off of the Larry.
What are you doing? What are we doing here? It's so stupid to have like the little holder on the bottom. Yeah. Vance had no idea.
No, it makes me cringe so bad. Like watching the stand fall and he's just grasping for it. The old Wanna Get Away commercials. That's one of the. That is just so painful to even look at.
It is painful. It's funny. It's funny. You can have a good laugh at it. Of course, politically now, you can't laugh at anything.
But, oh, yeah.
You know, I think it's funny. I think it's funny.
What a perfect description. What a perfect summary for the White House regime.
We talked
about... Those are the jokes being made.
Yes.
Those are the jokes being made by some.
We talked about Steph Curry going to Davidson and Trae Young going to Oklahoma. Our guy Max Crosby, Colleyville's own. He is now the assistant GM in Eastern Michigan. I guess these jobs have no responsibilities whatsoever. Completely figurehead name.
Yeah. What are they doing?
So, I mean, Andrew,
like Dirk's role with the Mavericks. Well, his former role with the Mavericks before they iced him out.
Yeah, this is, the Trae Young one is apparently somewhat legitimate. Like, he's going to have some sort of involvement to some extent. I don't know. The Max Crosby one and some of these other ones feel like they're just basically figurehead recruiting things where you put them in a certain position so that they're then allowed to sit in and be... like, you know, a leverage piece when you're trying to bring players in. I would assume it's just an official title to get something like that. But, yeah, in some of these instances, like, Trae Young is supposed to be somewhat heavily involved. I think Crosby's, especially as assistant, is going to be more just, hey, I'm popping in and doing some stuff from time to time.
Bill Belichick's girlfriend.
Oh, my God. I'm so sick of her.
So
I'm so tired of this.
I'll take a little sip.
She was at North Carolina practice, and people are wondering what she was doing there.
Yeah. She's running around like on the field.
On the field.
She's going back and forth with Bill.
Yeah.
And then to the end zone.
And then
in this Matrix coat.
Like, yeah, she's got this Neo
black and Tar Heel blue
right.
overcoat.
Just people are saying this is beyond weird and creepy. What is she doing on the coaching staff or whatever? And The Athletic had a real good article this morning on her role.
Oh.
Okay. And I had just combed through this on the break.
Because the initial speculation really, first it was, oh my God, Bill Belichick has her out there running drills. People think that she was helping get him mic'd up and wired
okay.
for some type of media.
Yeah, they probably emailed her about it. And well, she knew she had to be out there to do it.
Interesting here enough, because those emails are public because she works for the University of North Carolina.
It went over Sean's
head. Am I not getting about the email?
Remember he was, Bill Belichick told UNC people, hey, make sure to send Jordan all my emails. Anything you need me to know, get it to Jordan. She's my assistant.
So So The Athletic got a hold of 44 pages of emails from her because like, they're public record. They're University of North Carolina, State University's public record. And it addressed, like, she is in charge of everything.
Really?
So she wrote to the social media team. She wants to raise awareness, a subtle, obvious, occurring detail within the media releases. She wants to make sure that Steve and Bill Belichick are never photographed together. And that those photos are never put out to the mainstream because she wants those to have not to have any visual prompts that he's a Nepo baby. They are massively concerned about this because, again, State University, there's different rules. It's not like with the Patriots, you can just hire who you want to. But at State University, there's all kinds of employment rules that you've got to deal with.
Doesn't
right?
sound like there's that many employment rules with everybody Bill's hired. He's hired like his entire friend group and everybody else.
They are not allowed to refer to him as Bill's son at any point on social media.
It's like the Masters.
He is Steve Belichick. They are basically highlighting how great he was at the University of Washington without Bill and that he was there like with the Patriots, with Bill, and he was learning under the greatest defensive mind ever. He was not learning under his father. She is going very hard about all this.
It's like Bill leaving Robert Kraft out of his book. No mention of Robert Kraft. They want no mention of Belichick for Steve. I've lost all respect for this man. I was wrong. I was wrong about wanting him as the head coach and leader of the Dallas Cowboys, not for empowering women, but for being such a hypocrite, for flipping this badly. No man in the history of civilization has ever flipped this much for a female. Can you imagine any of his other assistants throughout his coaching history coming in and saying, hey, coach, do you mind, Matt Patricia, Josh McDaniels, do you mind if the misses? Is just hanging around the facility. Yeah. Gronk and Edelman were all making fun of Bill and the way he used to talk about dating and having female distractions. And now you're playing helicopter on the beach like I do with Ava. And you have her CC'd on everything. She's running around. I've all respect lost for this man.
Is it?
I wanted him to dominate and win. I still want him to dominate and win. It'll be a good story. But no one has ever succumbed to the power of that letter more than this.
Is it a bigger image flip?
And I have many friends who are spineless cowards that have melted. Family, that they allow these women to completely take over their entire world and they melt into little spineless puddles and this takes the cake.
Is it a bigger image flip than Kelsey?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Kelsey was like, I looked at Kelsey
as the bro.
He was like the bro and the like, oh, that's the toxic dude. And then all of a sudden I'm going on the European tour and we're hanging out.
Travis was always like, he was always cheesy. He was always a little corny.
I mean, the whole fight for your right to party song, you say that every time. I tell my kids, like that is undefeated. Do not let that beat you. That is undefeated. It's undefeated.
The stuff they're not allowed to say in bits. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I would say if Bill would have gotten hired here, do you think we would have heard as much about her as we've heard at UNC?
Oh, that's a good question. I do think from a college standpoint, like her being, Like, she's their age.
We would have 100% tried to interview her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But we would not have heard anywhere near the same.
I agree.
No way. College Kegger with RJ Choppy here on 105.3 The Fan. Yeah, the pettiness of this man to leave Robert Kraft out of his entire book about winning.
Yeah, his entire book. Now, he's another
level. Kevin Hagelin thinks he's petty. No, you could take Bobby and Hagelin combined, and I don't think it adds up to, and me, and it does not add up to Belichick's pettiness.
He does make references to the structure behind the organization, right?
So the Patriot way was fake.
Right, he said it does not exist. There were 363 people mentioned in the acknowledgement section where Kraft is nowhere to be found. So he just completely wiped him clean of the entire situation.
I read Parcells' book well, and I'm pretty sure I would have to go back or look it up online. I'm pretty sure he mentioned Robert Kraft because, you know, it's part of the story of the Patriots and working with him and the divorce. And even Parcells mentioned Kraft, and now he's going to the Patriots Ring of Honor, and Belichick, zip, zero, gone. Nothing.
Gone. Now, maybe Bill Belichick will have a new quarterback because the Nico Iamaliava saga continues, where Oregon and Notre Dame and Texas Tech have all been like, yeah, man, thanks, but no thanks. And UCLA.
Name those schools again who said no.
Oregon, Notre Dame. Texas Tech.
Okay.
Those are some of the ones that he had kind of reached out to. Other schools have reportedly said no, so he is looking at a UCLA, UNC, Tulane, South Alabama type.
Well, on3.com says the Tar Heels are out.
They are out? Okay. So I had seen this morning that they were still trying to get Carolina in. What it would be Belichick giving a very lower total.
Or have a girl sign off.
Or have the girl sign off.
See what she thinks.
But this is like, I think what we're seeing here is a lot of college football people are hoping. Now, are we going to get questions about them freezing him out, blackballing him?
I was just about to say, this feels like an NFL version of a united front.
Of a united front, because, you know, the portal opens tomorrow. ESPN and all these companies have ranked him as the number one player in the transfer portal. The number one player in the transfer portal is not going to get frozen out of anything.
Right.
You know, now, is he going to get $2.2 million? That's pretty much almost off the table. This is one of the most egregious missteps by a father. His dad is completely to blame for this.
Well, we have to see what he ends up getting.
Well, we have to see. Of course, if he gets more money, then it was the right move.
Yeah.
But all signs right now point to him getting less than the $2.2 million.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, this is a bad decision.
Yes, because teams are lining up to say no right now.
Yeah, they're lined up to say no.
All it takes is one.
All it takes is one, and look, he could maybe Lincoln Riley comes up and says, hey, look, we'll pay you.
Lincoln Riley.
Because this is also late in the game.
Yeah.
Because of budgets.
Everybody got quarterbacks in the winter portal, the one in January? That's where everybody got their quarterbacks. That's where Duke got theirs. That's where Georgia got Oregon. That's where all these quarterbacks going then.
Yeah, I mean, look, I could absolutely see them, because look, yeah, are they going to freeze out the number one player in the portal? Maybe not, but I mean, in an era where they don't have any power anymore, and it's pretty much all gone to the players at this point because of the way that NIL is structured.
This is them taking it back.
You could see them taking it back by saying, if we just make an example of this one guy, then we'll send enough of a message that we can make an example of others, and we'll be able to have more power in these negotiations and stop just getting controlled by the whims of advisors and different things. Yeah.
Like if he goes and he's got 2.2 and he gets, you know, 1.9 and he goes to a situation that's a good situation. Okay, you know what? Maybe you could argue, hey, it's a better situation for me. But if he drops down to $800,000 and he goes to play for Tulane, that's a really tough pill to swallow.
What if he offers to come tail back tuck to you guys?
I don't know. That's a locker room decision. I think that's a lot. I would take him back. Fine. I don't care. Like, if he wants to go play, I have no problem with what he did. I have no problem trying to get more money out of things. Okay. That's the system that they're under. I also have no problem with the university saying, look, we can't sit here and renegotiate with you, because if we do it with you, we got to do it with him and him and him. So I have no problem from the university standpoint. But if he comes back tail tucked and says, I want to be your quarterback again, and Heupel goes to the locker room and says, what do y'all think? And they're all in unison. Then bring him back. I got no problem with that.
It's the College Kegger with RJ Choppy on a Tolo Tuesday here on DFW Sports Station, home of the Commercial Free Expressway, home of the Tolo Ticket Giveaway. We have Renegade tickets to hook you up with as we go commercial free next, and why RJ thinks the Cowboys, they need to go with need over best player available in the upcoming draft. RJ flipping the draft rules. We go inside the star with draft week coming up next. We are commercial free with the Expressway. We have other football tickets to hook you up with here on Sean and RJ. Every morning it's going to be Renegades tickets. That's coming up for Turning It On, Leaving It On. That is what Tolo stands for. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Bell, along with Peyton and Aiden in the back. And draft time is heating up. And we have a big event on Thursday night here in the building, Bob.
We do. We are going to be doing Draft 101 here on Thursday night, and doors will open at 6:45. It's free. You guys can come out. No sign-up required. Nothing like that. Just come on out. Hang out with us. It'll be me, Brian Broaddus, Zach Wolchuk. We'll have a night of draft talk, debate, everything else. Free food from Whataburger, so we'll get you guys fed as well. And we're also going to have a couple signed items to give away from Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. So it'll be a good time. Come on out.
Everyone not working the draft next Thursday will be at a different Pluckers location if you want to get out and about and enjoy the festivities and the drama of all the picks. I will be in Mesquite. Chiafalo will be in Grapevine. The Great Christie Scales will be in Plano. Gavin Dawson in Addison. Lucius in Arlington. Corey in Allen. Kevin Hagelin in Dallas. Choppy, Fort Worth Alliance.
I would say that's not totally accurate.
Oh, yeah, we need to adjust that.
Be the Roman Coliseum.
Alec Medford, Fort Worth City View. So there you go. Pluckers coverage next Thursday, this Thursday, coming out to the station with some Whataburger and Dak and Lamb items and learn some Draft 101.
I thought they were just going to zoom you in on the big board. Like, that's what you're going to be doing at Pluckers.
Look, I let's see what time it would be. That would probably be like, what?
7 hour difference.
Three, so it would be 3 a.m. by the time sure. The Cowboys pick.
All right, when it comes to drafting, teams have kind of gone towards BPA. Best player available over team need. Just get the best talent. RJ Choppy is going back in time.
Yeah, it's an interesting sort of tug of war that the analytics crews have with each other on what the right way to do it is. And it doesn't mean that one is better, but all that they're trying to do is find inefficiencies in a market. So if the need picks are now running backs. Running backs became so undervalued, they became valuable to take.
Yeah.
Right? Kind of something like that. Doesn't mean that that's like the way that they want it to go. It's just, hey, I don't really need a house right now, but you're going to give me one for a great deal and overpay me for mine?
Yeah.
All right. You know, I can move. And I think that's the situation here.
And then you would get owned well for your property tax.
You would get owned well for your property tax. Absolutely. You know, one thing that's kind of talked about is that, you know, teams are really bad at evaluation of talent in general. Now, not individual teams are different. Some teams are just better. Like, some teams are really good at drafting individual positions. The Cowboys, this, if I were the Cowboys, I'm taking offensive line the first round just about every year. They nail that. You want to take an offensive line. First of all, it's a great pick. It hardly ever hurts you, right? Hardly ever hurts you. And it's relatively safe. But when you're drafting best player available, you're assuming you're right. Well, what if you're wrong? No one ever thinks about what happens if they're wrong. You have just as good of a chance. Again, I'm not saying like, and I think teams fall into this trap. A lot of times they pick quarterback from a need perspective, right? Quarterbacks are taken in the first round. If it wasn't a need, is Shador going in the top 3 or 4 or 5, right? Is Cam Ward going to the top 3 or 4 or 5?
Like, assume no team needs a quarterback.
Assuming
in the
no
draft.
Team needs a quarterback.
So, like, just where's the value?
Yeah.
He probably goes 30s or later.
Shador
mm-hmm.
and Cam?
Similar.
Okay.
Some teams may take him in the 20s.
So throw quarterback out. Every other position. You've got just as good of a chance, assuming that they're all kind of lumped together. I'm not saying, like, this guy the third round, you know, you could take him in the first, and you have just as good of a chance of hitting. That's not true. But when you put these guys, and you stack these guys, and you put grades on them, the difference between the 7th grade and the 10th, you're looking at, it's minutia. You don't know. You just don't know. So because you don't know, it's very arrogant to say, oh, this guy's going to be better than that guy. That's just an arrogant scout take. Sorry, Brutus. It's just an arrogant take. You don't know that the first defensive tackle is going to be better than the third defensive tackle on your board. There's no way of knowing. Now, again, if there's three round grades difference, that's different. But if they're all first round grades, you really don't know. Justin Jefferson was the fifth wide receiver taken.
Yeah, but I mean, Minnesota may have had him as the first receiver.
They might
never know.
They might have. But, you know, the league dictated that he wasn't.
Yeah.
The league said he wasn't. So if you have needs and you're talking about two players that are, if one's a 9-8 and one's a 9-4, don't be arrogant enough to think that your 9-8 is right. Take the need.
Okay. That's interesting thinking.
So, like, you know, if you have, you know, the Cowboys need a wide receiver. They need offensive line.
What would you do real quick if you were Jerry and Steven with your scouting department? How would you construct it? Or how many people would you fire?
I would fire right. I think the scouting department's great. I would just alter how I use the information. I would lean more on positional value.
I think they do, though. Like, I think they've talked about this. Chris Hall gave an interview one time. He was having a conversation. Chris Hall's their assistant director. I can't remember the exact title he has right now, but he's in the scouting department, has been for years. And Chris gave an interview to Neil Stratton from Inside the League, and he was talking about need versus BPA. This was 6-7 years ago. And he had said that the reality is that every team is looking for the blend. They're looking for the best player available at a position of need. That the only time you're really going to truly go best player available over need is like if it's just a blinking light. Like this dude slid so far down and
CD.
He's so above. CD was not technically a need when they picked him. But they were like, this guy is so much better than anybody else on the board. It's not close. Yeah. We have to take him. Otherwise, they are generally going with need. They felt they needed a defensive tackle, so they got Mazi. They felt they needed offensive linemen, so they got Tyler Guyton and Tyler Smith. They generally, I think, do go with need and just say, who's the best player in this range? And if the best player at our need is not in this range, well, like, let's move back a little bit and then take him there and collect more capital.
I think that's fair. I think that, like, I like the position of need. I'm sorry, the best player at a position of need.
Fortunately, in for this discussion,
they got a lot.
They have a lot.
They got a lot of needs.
Yeah.
You know, now, do you want to reach for certain positions? Like the, I've not changed, but you know, if you want to take a running back, at 12, I won't love it. I'm not going to lose my mind over it. You know, because you are getting the four best years or five best years of the running back. The problem is you are paying them. Although now that the running back market has changed a little bit, you're not nearly paying them at the top of the market. I think you would be, Zeke was what, 11th? Zeke was like the 11th highest paid running back his rookie year.
Yeah, I mean, he was nowhere close to the top because that's generally where you're going to burn it. You would rather get that burn right then.
Right. So that's one good thing about taking the running back high.
So Todd McShay was on the Mina Kimes show, and he was asked to pick in this Cowboys scenario. Tet McMillan and Matthew Golden are both on the board at 12. Todd McShay, pick.
Yeah, I'm happy if I'm the Cowboys. There's no question about it. What the Cowboys will very likely do in that scenario, if it's down to those two picks, is take Tetteroa and McMillan. Yeah. It's a compliment. You've got your difference maker on the other side. You look for a big one-on-one guy in Tet. Jump balls. Don't need him to be a great route runner year one. Continue to develop him.
You got to choose.
I'm going to take McMillan. Okay. I'm going to do it because of this situation. But I want to make it perfectly clear to everyone out there that's listening and watching. I would take Matthew Golden given most other circumstances. This is a Dallas thing specifically with their offense, their weapons, Dak style.
All right. So there's McShay. More of a Golden fan. He thinks the Cowboys would take McMillan.
CBS Sports has the Cowboys taking Golden at 12 as well. They have them doing the same thing, and they say he is perfectly suited to play second fiddle the way Jordan Addison pairs with Justin Jefferson, three-level route runner, consistent ability to get open. You know, like, is that a situation of outthinking the room? Like, is, you know, or is it really close? Like, is Tet McMillan that polarizing of a player like Bobby has talked about.
I think in this instance, how are you referring to outthinking the room? Meaning what?
Well, like, is taking Golden because he fits better?
Yes. Yes.
As opposed to, like, you know, is he better?
Right. I think that's outthinking it.
Yeah.
To say, all right, he's the better matchup opposite of Lamb.
He's the better two.
Yes.
You know, or do you just want he once?
Exactly. I think that's outthinking it. To say, all right, he complements CD better, so let's have him on the other side.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with two ones.
Nothing wrong with two ones, man.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with two Tyreeks.
Nope.
I'm not saying it's Tyreek. There's nothing wrong with two game breakers. Now,
Chris Carter, Randy Moss did pretty well together.
Well, they were different players.
They were, but yeah. They were like...
But if I had two Randy Mosses, I'd be happier.
You'd be happy. You'd be happy with two Randy Mosses, yeah.
You know, so I think that's outthinking it when it's like, all right, who complements Lamb better? Just get the best receiver.
Yeah, unless, like we've talked about, if they are at a coin flip position where they go, these guys are right there with each other, and then they go, so all right, like, if they're the same player to us, essentially,
right.
They're just two different styles, yep. Let's go with this. I would be surprised if Golden was higher to them, just given the way that they've typically looked at receivers before.
Do we know how Schottenheimer will view receivers versus McCarthy?
Like, does he view that in terms of his
size,
preferences? Yeah, so
preferences.
I think McCarthy was probably more rigid on things like, if you are a certain size, you can only play in the slot. And I don't know that that's something that Schottenheimer's going to lean into nearly as much. But, yeah, he'll have his preferences for sure, because he's also coached receivers before. There's video right up there on the fan cam right now. Like, this is some of Tet McMillan. And McMillan is just, he's so smooth. He can play in the slot. He can play outside. He's not a burner, but when you watch him, he's just, he's got a feel for space. He'll get the ball. He's so efficient with the way that he glides, those strides that he has, that it doesn't matter that he's 4-5-5. Like, you see him there. He's pulling away from all the defenders because he is very efficient in his movements and the way he gets upfield. I think he is a pretty much bona fide guaranteed superstar.
So that's he has a higher ceiling.
I think that to me is the second best player in the draft behind Travis Hunter.
What?
Yeah, the top three to me are easy. It's Travis Hunter, it's Tet McMillan, and Ashton Jeanty. Those are the three best
over
players.
Over Abdul.
Mm-hmm.
And you said superstar.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a superstar.
So woo! Of him and Golden, you're saying Tet has a higher ceiling. Does Tet have a higher floor too?
Probably not, just because of, like, we talk about the testing and different things that Golden has. That's a athletic profile that has projected out better. But they're both still figuring out what kind of players they are. They're both still kind of coming into themselves.
And your Tet comp is who?
Brandon Marshall.
Oh, I like that.
Okay. I was just trying to think of more, like, explosive, big-time ability. Brandon Marshall was a fantastic player. Mm-hmm. No one would think he's the second or third best player in his draft. I was looking for more like star potential when you say something like that.
Well, no, and I mean, I think, like, if you were to look and maybe...
You know what I mean? Brandon Marshall was damn good.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think when you think about Brandon Marshall, yeah, you may not think of, like, oh my gosh, he had all these Tyreek Hill type plays, but, like, when you look at over the history of his career, Brandon Marshall was, starting with his second year in Denver, 1,300, 1,200, 1,100, 1,000, 1,200, 1,500, 1,200... Then he had 700, then it was 1,500. But, I mean, he was a machine.
Yeah.
And if you're talking about pairing that with CD and you've got Turpin already here and that's kind of like your gadget role, then, I mean, I think it's a good receiver group.
Man.
Aiden, employee of the week so far, young man. Just get rid of that stupid hat and you'll be crushed. Stepping up, fam. Make us forget Ryan real soon here.
Ooh, with this type of, you did forget him for a sec. You forgot his name.
With this type of performance, fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Well done. All the video. We got a new kid in town.
Brandon Marshall was a fourth-round pick. First receiver that year at 06, Santonio Holmes. Then Chad Jackson.
Chad Jackson?
Sonoris Moss.
Who's Chad Jackson?
He went to Florida.
Okay. And who did he get drafted by? Who he played for?
Patriots. Okay. Second round pick.
Oh, makes sense. Belichick.
Then Greg Jennings in the second round. All right. That was a good
Greg
pick.
Jennings.
Greg was a good player. Travis Wilson. Derek Hagan. Brandon Williams.
Oh, my goodness.
Maurice Stovall.
Ew.
Willie Reed. Corey Rogers.
Ew.
Jason Avant, Demetrius Williams.
Ew.
And then Brandon Marshall at 119, wow. Right after Steven Gutkowski.
man.
The kicker.
All right. So there it is, a little Inside the Star on your home of the Cowboys Draft 101 Thursday night in this building with Whataburger feeding you. And then the real thing next Thursday. Let's hook you up with more football.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Call number 10 right now at 877-881-1053 wins a four-pack of tickets to see the Arlington Renegades take on the D.C. Defenders on Sunday, April 27th at Choctaw Stadium in Arlington. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Now that Rory McIlroy is off the hook, who is the next tortured soul in the world of sports? That's coming up at 8 o'clock. Thank you for turning it on, leaving it on. Keeping the station on that dial, however you may be listening. Hopefully you win those Renegades tickets. If you don't get it today, you got the rest of the week. It's time for Ask Reddit.
Do you have a question, Kelly?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
That is right. It's time for Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan.
What?
I was going to tease tomorrow morning, but we'll do it a little later. Ask Reddit takes up too much time.
We do it every Tuesday here during the Expressway. By the way, you mentioned hopefully they win those tickets. 682 said, thank you for helping me win the tickets yesterday. Said today he turns 50, so happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And to the 817, shout out to my daughter, Adeline and Crowley, who's taking the star for sixth grade today.
Oh, man.
How about shout out to your wife?
Shout out to my wife. It is her her birthday today. She's turning 29 years old. So congratulations to Kristen on the big 2-9. All right, we're doing Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan. This is where we ask the salacious questions being asked over on Reddit, the 50-plus million member forum Ask Reddit every week.
How old is she really turning?
I can say, right? That's not a 37.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine.
I was like, is Bobby still the 20-year-old?
No.
Would have been impressive.
Yeah. No, but
Bobby Belichick.
Yeah.
Bobby
Belichick. Exactly. There you go.
All right. RJ Choppy.
Bobby Bell.
How would you handle a child or sibling being involved in the film industry that is 18 and over?
Sibling, I would have no opinion. It's not my life. I have no say. Mm-hmm. I don't tell my.
You don't have a say when they're 18 either.
That's right. But like, you know, I feel like as a parent, you're still a parent, right? I'm always their dad.
Yeah.
Sibling, do what you want. You know, just live your life. Kids. Is it a boy or a girl, and how old is the girl?
See, that is, I think this
girl.
Is...
Yeah, everyone has to answer this with girl.
It's yeah, girl and sister.
Sister, I guess. Sister, I wouldn't bother me.
Girl and sister, and they're 22.
All right. Girl, child. If it's OnlyFans, I'm okay with it. Because you could just bilk men out of money. Millions of dollars a month.
Yeah, well, this is... We're not
talking about that.
We're
talking about like old school
yeah.
adult films. Yeah, that's a no for me, dog. That's a no for me. It doesn't matter how old they are. Your goal as a dad is, and you have a girl, is to just keep them out of that whole
industry. That's like the main goal. That is the top
yes,
goal.
That's the main goal. I think that's the number one. Goal number one, get them to adulthood. Goal number two, keep them out of that industry. Son, I'll give you my answer off air.
Off air for the son?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a devastating question. It scrambled my head. I feel like if it was a reality, if we were still speaking, the policy would just be don't bring up work.
That's right.
No work. It's like politics. Don't bring up work. But man, what a...
Yeah.
What a devastating card for all your friends to play on you.
Oh, yeah.
You think the Zach Nosebleed songs are bad now. Imagine if that was incorporated.
So the answers are different if it's a sibling versus my kid. If it's a sibling, I am going to tell them one time, like, the hell are you doing? I will, and I'll just be like, this is stupid. You shouldn't be doing this. And if that doesn't get through, it's like, all right, well, then I'm just referring to her into the future as my dumbass sister who does that. That's what I would generally say. If this is my kid, I am actively pleading with them regularly. Please stop.
Yeah.
Please stop.
Would you rather a kid do that or steal?
Steal.
Like a hacker. Your kid's a hacker.
Oh, yeah. What is it? Sandra Bullock and
the
web?
Illegal crimes over this?
Yes. Are you kidding? This is not even close.
A thief that could go to jail. You're stealing, like, both could be judged as immoral. I don't, you know, whatever. But one gets you locked up and you're stealing from senior citizens and ripping people off.
There's very few crimes I'm gonna say that, oh, okay, well, not that over this. This is gonna be number one here.
Tolo Trey said, 29-year-old, who does he think he is, Joppy?
She's how old is she? She's 36. Not yet.
She's 36?
Let's see. She was born in 89.
She's a month older than I am.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'll be 36 in June. Peyton, what's your answer on this?
Look, I'm not a parent now, but if I
with your time clock, you will be.
9 months, 10 months from now, yeah.
10 months.
I don't know if I can be supportive of this. Like, I don't think, like, with it being, you know, my child, male, female, or, you know, a sibling, brother, sister, whatever, I don't think I can be supportive of it.
Yeah.
It's just, it'd be difficult. And now, if I had no friends, you know, lived at home alone, you know, saw absolutely nobody, and no one saw me, then I wouldn't care.
You got to move.
You got to move. You got to move.
Oh, see, I'm different on your front. When you say you got to, it's more a, if I don't have any friends and I'm home, I don't care. No, like, this is, that's a big part of it is other people knowing, but it's me knowing. Like, please stop. Right, I don't want you to do this.
What if you're just scrolling and you come across
it? Okay. Next one. Next one. After we say 346 says, I'm with Chop. That's goal number two. So many illegal crimes. I would prefer to my princess doing that. All right. We're doing Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan. Peyton Russell. Let's go to.
Ava will dance a little bit, like shake her rear end a tiny bit. And that. I'm automatically start yelling at her. Stop. I said, this is baby, not baby dolls.
Baby dolls, right.
And so I'm like, oh, God, this is so disturbing.
Peyton Russell, what airplane etiquette should all passengers know?
Look, I experienced this on my flight to Boston. Yeah. Don't take up more than one spot on the overhead items. Ooh. You have your personal item and your carry-on. The carry-on goes above. You cheap SOBs that just throw both items. I had to put my carry-on four spots behind mine on plane to Boston.
Because, nothing worse.
Because you got people went, you know, the row 15, you know, coming back there, putting their stuff up. It's like, dude.
Nothing worse.
You're trying to cheat the game. I get it. I respect it. But your carry-on needs to sit in your lap.
I told or underneath the seat in front of you. Your backpack goes underneath.
This may have happened with the guy that sat between us.
Yeah.
Flying back, he had to go to the back of the plane.
He had to go to the back of the plane to get his stuff. Oh. Your jacket. You know, if your jacket can lay on top and the compartment's already full, okay, fine. But, you know, don't put your suitcase in. You're the first one on the plane, your suitcase in, and your jacket right next to it. Hand your, if you have like a sport jacket or something, hand it to the flight attendant. You can hang it up. Your backpack goes underneath.
You know what they should do? They should create like a fit. We should all be obligated to have like a fishing string on our luggage.
Yeah.
And we see how far it stretches back.
Right.
And if that keeps stretching to the back and you put your bag up in row three, you cut the string.
You cut the string.
And you get to throw the bag off the plane.
Throw it out the plane.
Yeah.
Your
fishing
stuff,
string will fix all of it.
Yeah.
Besides choking everybody out.
Goes in the compartment above you.
Above you.
Above you.
Or,
not below, not in front.
Or check it.
Or check it. Or check it. Also, keep your shoes on.
Oh.
All right. And don't bring food that smells on the plane.
Okay, so
you
that's
onion people on a plane. Don't bring your stupid Jimmy John's sandwich loaded with onions and vinegar on the airplane.
I had a Cuban sandwich and McKenzie got out of me, said it smells.
Come on, man. You can't bring it on. You know.
Cuban's good, though.
Everyone loves great Cuban. It's great. It's fantastic.
That's what Trenton Lowry on the YouTube says, don't bring smelly food. That's one. We're getting a lot of them, and I know this is gonna cause Sean to pick a fight.
Seat back.
915-361. Bunch of different people coming here saying, don't lean the seat back. Don't lean the seat back in economy. These are some of the answers we're getting here. Go ahead. Defend your position about leaning the seat back.
I mean, blame the airline, not me. The airline allows me to recline and move back. By the way, it doesn't do anything. I get no relief with the stupid lean back. It's not enough to make that much
of a
difference.
Very little relief.
So more than half the time, I don't even do it. Mine is keep your stupid cell phone ringer off when you land. There was a girl on one of our flights.
Bing, oh my gosh.
I wanted to spike that thing into the ground. And then your conversation that you have to tell the person you've landed and to come pick you up, text it. I don't need to hear it. I don't need to hear your phone conversation. But the notification ringer, when that damn plane lands with that social media obsessed person, that's my rule.
Yeah.
Keep it off.
817, as well as T from the 203 on the YouTube, give the same answer. It's that middle seat armrest.
Yep.
If you're in the middle seat, the middle seat gets both armrests.
Great one.
That's the one.
Yep.
Great one.
All right, here we're doing Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan. Sean Sharif.
We'll see if you just pass on this one. Sean Sharif, how do you feel about time of the month intimacy?
What kind of question is this?
It's one of the most popular ones.
Corey Majors.
Yay or nay? That's it.
Yay.
Chop.
Corey Majors brought this up the other day.
It's a yes.
In commercial break. Guys that I know, they don't care.
It's not a problem.
Yep. I just go with the flow.
Literally.
What's Steele's joke? What's Steele's joke for?
Because
that was his joke.
They can't see him lift his eyebrows.
He said go with the flow. That spoke for itself.
Yeah, I'm speaking for him. That's what I got to do. I top everything. Peyton?
I'm 50-50 on it. Ooh. There's times I can just, you know what? I can wait. I waited 18 years for my first time. I can wait, you know, a couple more days. All right.
But then the other times?
But then the other times I'm like, if I'm desperate, then yeah.
Dude, I was going to say that you're cutting out an entire week out of the month. We're just like, no, no, that's not going to work. It's absolutely 100%. Yes, it's a yes. And it's a, and but I feel like they think it's more of the, generally, I feel like
I think it's a compliment to them.
I feel like, yeah.
You're like, I don't care. I accept you as you are.
I feel like most women think we all care about it. It's like, we don't.
We
generally don't. I've met a couple guys who do, but for the most part, I haven't really known anybody who
depends
actually
if it's laundry day too.
Cares about it. 214, time of the month? Heck no. Crime scene waiting to happen. 903.
Bobby.
I don't need it that bad. We're getting some people saying no, that they're out on it. So I guess it's more common for them than we thought.
I think the more important question is, and we don't really need to elaborate anymore, how many women are still willing during?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's still.
Versus just shutting it down.
Right. Exactly. All right. We're doing Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan. Sean, I'm going to come back to you on this one. What is the best food to eat as a leftover?
Ooh.
As you bring your leftovers into the club and go to the front desk and say, will you hold this for me?
Oh, man, that's a good one. Maybe Chinese food.
Chinese food's good.
The only thing that's bad about the Chinese food leftover, if you get like a breaded chicken, you got to probably air fry it. You can't microwave that, but you can microwave rice. Can't tell the difference. You can microwave the lo mein. You can microwave the sauces. But if you get like a bread, you can microwave whatever fake meat they put in there. But if it's breaded, that's a big problem.
Yeah, I mean, the air fryer changed everything when it comes to leftovers in a sense.
Let's assume just microwave. Let's assume that's all you had to heat it up.
Okay, because my answer was going to be pasta.
Oh, yeah.
But you put it in a frying pan.
I don't even need that. Pasta's phenomenal.
Throw some oil, throw it in a frying pan. It's got the sauce, the cold sauce that kind of hardens. Now it gets softer. But in the frying pan, pasta's great. It's got a little crunchiness to it.
Like, I have sushi today, and I'm screwed. That sushi's awful because you got the rice. You don't want to microwave it because of the fish. And then you're on a race against time with the fish. So, and then if you have wasabi in there, like,
yeah. I don't think I've ever tried leftover sushi.
You eat it all in one sitting.
Right. We're getting an overwhelming number of responses for one thing in particular.
Pizza.
Carry on the YouTube. Yeah, it's pizza. We're getting that from 214-903-817. So it's all over the place.
I don't know about pizza. Like, I guess I'm rare in that I'm fine with just microwaving the pizza. Amanda is
put the glass of water in it with it?
No, I don't. I've never tried it.
I do put a paper towel over it. That usually crisps it up. Like, it doesn't have to be wet, just paper towel.
Getting crust right on a reheat, I don't care about crust anyway, but getting crust right on a reheat is almost impossible, I feel like. You're not going to enjoy the crust with the reheat pizza. But, yeah, melting the cheese and the tomato sauce yet again, good to go.
Peyton, what's yours?
Yeah, mine was pizza, but it has to be the air fryer. You know, I learned about the air fryer and pizza about 3 or 4 years ago, so I've always used that to reheat it. 817-214 also says enchiladas.
Okay, here's the other one. What if you're not reheating it? What can you eat cold? Is that pizza?
I won't eat. Cold pizza sucks.
So I'll tell you what's it was a good show.
When RJ was on.
The one that's cold out, like if you get one of those rotisserie chickens from the store, that's really difficult to reheat and have it taste normal.
Yeah, it
that's
is.
Almost better to just cut off some of the chicken and eat it cold.
Oof.
You can't do it. What a snob you are. All right, we're doing Ask Reddit here on 105 Through the Fan. RJ Choppy, what's legally wrong but morally right?
Vigilante justice.
Which, you got to give me an example of what that would be.
Okay, so there was that What was that? There was that video. There was a guy at the phone booth, and he shot the dude in the head who had like done something to his daughter.
Oh yeah, the I can't remember his name, but right. Yeah, it was his. It was his child's abuser being like brought back in from extradition, and yeah,
and he shoots him. Yeah. That's that to me. That's morally. That's legally wrong, but morally right. You did. Somebody hurts your kid, abuses your child in a manner that is going to impact them for the rest of your life, and I would not put that guy in jail. Go ahead, man.
Unless the kid's in the industry.
Right.
Yeah. Peyton, what's your answer on this one?
Mine's stealing from the rich and give to the poor.
Okay. All right, Robin Hood.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. You know, I agree with it, but technically I guess it's wrong.
But how? Stealing from the rich, how?
Like, you know, when... Sean, you invite us over to your house. You know, I take some of your liquor and then I give it to my lower class friends.
Lower class. Doesn't steal from class. He's the Robin Hood of liquor.
The Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Payne's Robin Hood.
The Robin Hood. Some of the answers we're getting here on the fan text, filling potholes without permission, pirating content that can't be legally purchased. Okay, here, this is a pretty good one, and it depends on where you are. Some places this isn't the case. But giving water to people standing in line who are voting, that's technically illegal in some areas.
I know.
But you're not allowed to pass out things like that.
Why? I've never come across a voting line. I've never walked to a voting pool and found a line. It's always been in and out in 5 minutes.
I got one that came up the other day. My wife could be messing with me like RJ did for years, as we are going to have photos taken on Friday. And my goody two-shoes wife now has my son lecturing me. Taking some of the blue bonnets, ripping them out of the ground. And my wife said, no, you can't. I was like, yeah, well, I'll take a blue bonnet home, you know, for Ava, Ollie, you know, Texas, you know, first memories creating that. And my wife's like, you're not allowed to take the blue bonnets. You can't pick them. And I'm like, well, I'm taking a blue bonnet. And my son now is, you can't do that, Dad. No, no, no. So legally, is it a legal?
According to AI, there is no specific law. It is just discouraged, according to the Texas Department of Public Safety.
Okay.
Picking them can impact the ability of the plants to reproduce. It could be seen as disrespectful.
Okay. Well, no one's going to see it.
There are enough people who will socially shame you for doing it, though, that it feels illegal.
Insurrection picked flowers at the botanical gardens.
Dang.
And you, oh, see, yeah, now
I had to put a stop to that.
There, Fantex is not happy with you, Sean, for picking the blue box.
I didn't pick them yet. It's Friday. God, I can't take one. I'm trying to pay extra respect to the flower by wanting it in my home. I want a Texas symbol in my house. Are you going to shame me for it?
That's what it looks like. You want one more? We're getting close to the end. Should we wrap?
We're done.
Okay.
Ask Reddit. Maybe we'll do the leftovers with the KNC Masterpiece Crosstalk at 9:40. Here on DFW Sports Station, thanks for being a total. That stands for turn it on, leave it on. McElroy is off the hook, so RJ is asking, who is the next tortured soul in the world of sports who has to get it done? Need your answers on the Frank LaFranco fan text next.